VOA 1, the hits.
Welcome to Learning English, a daily 30-minute program from the Voice of America. I'm Jonathan Evans.
And I'm Ashley Thompson. This program is aimed at English learners. So we speak a little slower, and we use words and phrases, especially written, for people learning English.
Today on the program, Ashley and I will bring you stories, along with Alice Bryant. Later, we will present our American history series, The Making of a Nation. But first, Anthony Fauci, Kamala Harris, and Leonardo da Vinci are among this year's list of most mispronounced words as recorded by the U.S. Captioning Company. The company adds captions and subtitles to live events on television and in courtrooms. A caption is a sentence or group of words written on or next to a picture to explain what is being shown. Similarly, subtitles are words that appear on the screen during a movie, video, or television show that are translations of what people are saying. The U.S. Captioning Company list identifies the words that proved most tricky for newsreaders and people on television to pronounce this year. The caption company said it surveyed its members to create the list. Now in its fifth year, the list was commissioned by Babbel, a language learning application company. Todd Erisman is a language expert at Babbel. He said the list shows a year ruled by presidential politics and the coronavirus pandemic. All of these have added some new phrases to our national vocabulary, which may take some practice, he said. Here is how Erisman broke down the pronunciations for this year's most commonly misspoken words. Anthony Fauci, director of the National Institute of Allergy and Infectious Diseases. Bangtan Sonyeondan, the full name of South Korean K-pop band BTS. The name in English means a group of bulletproof boys or bulletproof Boy Scouts. Giannis Antetokounmpo, a Greek professional basketball player who plays for the National Basketball Association's Milwaukee Bucks. He was named the NBA's Most Valuable Player this year. Leonardo da Vinci, the Italian painter, architect, and engineer who created the Mona Lisa. A mispronunciation of his name was the subject of a viral meme on social media this year. Nevada, the home state of Las Vegas that played a central role in the U.S. presidential election. Yosemite, the famous national park in California's Sierra Nevada Mountains. The park name was notably mispronounced by President Donald Trump in August.
Hundreds of people visited a wet market on a recent weekday morning in the central Chinese city of Wuhan. They came to buy fresh vegetables and live animals like fish, frogs, and turtles. It has been almost 1 year since Wuhan reported the world's first cases of COVID-19 in one of its wet markets. But as life in many places remains sharply affected by the pandemic, life in Wuhan has largely returned to normal. "I'm not afraid. What is there to be afraid of?" said Nie Guangzhen, a fish and vegetable seller. Few reminders remain of Wuhan's early part in the coronavirus pandemic, which has since affected more than 67 million people worldwide. China first told the World Health Organization of 27 cases of viral pneumonia in Wuhan on December 31, 2019. Officials shut down a wet market in the city the next day after discovering some patients were sellers or dealers there. The move marked the start of a tense period for the city of 11 million people. Infection numbers rose quickly to 50,000 cases, including almost 4,000 deaths. Officials quickly put in place a severe 76-day lockdown. Thick yellow barriers appeared in the city's empty streets to keep people at home and keep businesses closed. The measures worked. Wuhan has not recorded a new locally transmitted case in several months. Today, the city has crowded shopping streets, heavy traffic, and busy restaurants. "I really missed these more fun and exciting times, like going out shopping and eating with my friends," said 27-year-old Hu Hong while shopping at a popular Wuhan night market. In the busy market street, sellers offered flowers and balloons. Street performers danced and entertained. Music played from stores along the road. China's recovery looks sharply different from other major economies heading into the Christmas and New Year holiday season. In the United States, the health system is under severe pressure as cases rise. Health experts warn the worst is still ahead. The country recorded 15,000 deaths over the past week, the deadliest 7 days of the pandemic since April. Leaders across Europe have introduced new restrictions on gatherings ahead of Christmas, in an effort to prevent another wave of infections. China has taken several steps to prevent a new wave of infections. These steps include mass testing millions of residents following small outbreaks. At the entrance of housing compounds, workers check residents' smartphone health codes. In public parks, messages on red propaganda signs urge people to remain careful. Wearing face masks is not required, but most people do so in public.
Many of you have the goal of learning American English. After all, you are listening to or reading a lesson from the Voice of America. But you will still probably have some contact with British English. The popularity of British television shows and musical groups, for example, reaches across borders. So, how does British English differ from American English? You may already know that there is a clear difference in accent. Other differences include some vocabulary and expressions. Less commonly discussed, however, are the variations in grammar. American and British Englishes share almost all of the same grammar. But there are differences, and some are worth noting, especially for English learners. On today's program, we will discuss a few of them. First, let's talk about where the two Englishes vary on preposition use. In British English, the preposition at is used in several time-related phrases, such as when talking about weekends. But speakers of American English use the preposition on in such a case. Listen to this American English speaker.
On weekends, I like to watch sports.
Can you think of how a British English speaker would say this? That's right, it is. At weekends, I like to watch sports. Americans also use the preposition on with street names, yet British English speakers use in. Listen to this American talking about where someone lives.
She lives on 17th Street near DuPont Circle.
Can you guess how the British English speaker would say it? That's right. She lives in 17th Street near DuPont Circle. These are just a few examples of the small differences in preposition use. Now, let's move on to verb tenses. American and British English speakers use the present perfect verb tense in similar ways. But Americans use it in fewer situations. In many other situations, we use the simple past instead. Listen to an American use the simple past tense to talk about a lost object.
Ugh, I lost my phone again.
British English speakers would generally use the present perfect in this situation, as in, I've lost my phone again. The present perfect verb here is have lost. This is also true when giving news. In American English, we use the simple past to do this. Speakers of British English generally use the present perfect. Listen to an American give a piece of news to someone.
Your supervisor just called.
Again, such news would involve the present perfect for Britons. As in, your supervisor has just called. Or the contracted, your supervisor's just called. Notice use of the word just, a common time-related adverb. With other such adverbs, like yet and already, Americans also tend to use the simple past tense, while Britons use the present perfect. Listen to an American use a past tense verb and the adverb already.
Would you like more?
No, thanks. I already ate too much.
So, what might a British answer sound like? A person is likely to say, I have already eaten too much, which uses the present perfect verb, have eaten. The two dialects also differ in some ways in their usages of the verbs have and get. When talking about human relationships, British English speakers generally use the wording have got. For instance, a Briton might say, I've got an uncle in New York City. But an American is likely to say, I have an uncle in New York City. This same rule applies when talking about possession of objects and when discussing illness. A British English speaker would likely say, I've got a cold, while an American would probably just say, I have a cold. The two dialects also have their own ways of saying that something is required or necessary. The modal verb have to is more common to American English. The phrasing have got to is much more common to speakers of British English. An American would likely say, we have to be there by 7, while a British person is more likely to say, "We have got to be there by 7. And speaking of got, let's not forget an unusual difference between the past participle forms of get. In American English, the past participle of get is gotten. But Britain discontinued the use of gotten more than 300 years ago. In British English, the past participle of get is got. So you might hear an American English speaker say this:
"He has not gotten far on the project."
Yet a British English speaker might say, "He has not got far on the project." And finally, let's touch on something that deals with giving short answers to questions. British English speakers often add the auxiliary verb do in short replies. An American would use just a modal verb. Listen to an answer from this American English speaker.
"Are you bringing the whole family?"
"I might."
The modal verb in the reply is might. Yet speakers of British English would generally use both a modal and the auxiliary do, as in the reply, "I might do." I'm Alice Bryant.
Welcome to The Making of a Nation, American History in VOA Special English. The cattle industry started in Texas during the 1870s. With its growth came a new kind of worker, the man who watched and took care of the cattle. These men, who watched the cows and rode with them as they moved across the wild lands, were often young, just boys, and so they were called cowboys. Kay Gallant tells what life was like for the early American cowboy.
People all over the world have seen all sorts of films about the cowboy, and he is often shown in television shows. But the real life of the cowboy is not often shown. His work has been hard, and his life lonely and full of danger. The cowboy has told his own story in many songs and ballads. Hundreds of these have come from cowboys whose names are not known. They just sang these songs as they rode on the saddles of their horses across the cattle lands, or as they sat at their campfires at night. They sang about the things that were close to them, horses and cows and danger and death. Often they sang about the long ride to the cattle markets, where the cows were sold for beef, as in this song called "Get Along, Little Doggy." Doggy is another name for a young cow, especially one which wanders away from the herd. The song tells how the young cowboy keeps driving the doggies forward. He feels sorry for them, because they will soon be sold for meat. But that's their hard luck, not his. And he keeps pushing them on while he sings.
Well, as I was a-walking one morning for pleasure, well, I spied a young cowboy a-riding along. Well, his hat was shoved back and his spurs was a-jingling, and as he was riding, he was singing this song. Whoopie-tie-yi-oh,
get along, little dogies. It's your misfortune, ain't none of my own. Whoopie-tie-i-o, get along, little dogies. You know that Wyoming's gonna be your new home. It's early in the springtime, we round up those dogies. We cut them out, brand them, and bob off the tails. Round up the horses, load up the chuck wagon, and then throw the dogies out on the north trail. Whoopie-tie-i-o, get along, little dogies. It's your misfortune, ain't none of my own. Whoopie-tie-i-o, get along, little dogies. You know that Wyoming will be your new home. Well, your mother was raised way down in Texas, where the Jimson weed and those choyas grow. We'll fill you up on those prickly pear briars until you are ready for Idaho. Whoopie-tie-i-o, get along, little dogies. It's your misfortune, ain't none of my own. Whoopie-tie-i-o, get along, little dogies. Know that Wyoming's gonna be your new home. Whoopie-tie-i-o, get along, little dogies. It's your misfortune, ain't none of my own. Whoopie-tie-i-o, get along, little dogies. You know that Wyoming will be your new home.
One of the most famous of cowboy ballads is this one called The Chisholm Trail.
Put in the stirrup and my hand on the horn. I'm the best darn cowboy ever was born. Singing ki-yi-yippee-yippee-yi-yippee-yo. Singing ki-yi-yippee-yippee-yi. Well, I started up the trail October 23rd. Started up the trail with the two you heard. Singing ki-yi-yippee-yippee-yi-yippee-yi. Singing ki-yi-yippee-yippee-yi. Up every morning before daylight and before I sleep, the moon shines bright. Singing ki-yi-yippee-yippee-yi-yippee-yi. Singing ki-yi-yippee-yippee-yi. With a $10 horse and a $40 saddle, I'm going down to Texas for to punch them cattle. Singing ki-yi-yippee-yippee-yi-yippee-yo. Singing ki-yi-yippee-yippee-yi. Well, old Ben Bolt was a fine old boss, and he went to see his gal on a sore-back horse. Singing ki-yi-yippee-yippee-yi-yippee-yi. Singing ki-yi-yippee-yippee-yi. There's a stray in the herd, and the boss said kill it, so I shot him in the rump with the handle of a skillet. Singing ki-yi-yippee-yippee-yi-yippee-yi. Singing ki-yi-yippee-yippee-yi. Then I went to the boss to draw my roll, and he had me figured out $9 in the hole. Singing ki-yi-yippee-yippee-yi-yippee-yi. Singing ki-yi-yippee-yippee-yi. Roping and a-tying and a-branding all day, I'm a-working mighty hard for a mighty little pay. Singing ki-yi-yippee-yippee-yi-yippee-yo. Singing ki-yi-yippee-yippee-yi. Well, I went to the boss and we had a little chat, and I hit him in the face with my old slouch hat. Singing ki-yi-yippee-yippee-yi-yippee-yi. Singing ki-yi-yippee-yippee-yi. With my foot in the stirrup and my hand on the horn, I'm the best dang cowboy ever was born. Singing ki-yi-yippee-yippee-yi-yippee-yi. Singing ki-yi-yippee-yippee-yi. Well, I'm gonna get married just as quick as I can, and I won't punch cattle for an old darn man. Singing ki-yi-yippee-yippee-yi-yippee-yi. Singing ki-yi-yippee-yippee-yi.
Day and night, the horse was at the cowboy's side. A cowboy was as proud of his horse as he was of his skill in riding him. There is this feeling in the song, I Ride an Old Paint. A paint, or pinto, is a horse of three or more different colors.
I ride an old paint, lead an old Dan, gone to Montana to throw the hooligan. Feed them in the coolies and water in the draw. Tails are all matted and their backs are all raw. Ride around, little dogies, ride around them slow. They're fiery and snuffy and are raring to go. Old Bill Jones had two daughters and a song. One went to college and the other went wrong. His wife got killed in a free-for-all fight. Still he keeps singing from morning till night. Ride around, little dogies, ride around them slow. They're fiery and snuffy and are raring to go.
I've worked in your town, worked on your farm, and all I got to show is the muscle in my arm. Blisters on my feet and the callus on my hand. Going to Montana to throw the Julian right around. Little dogies right around them slow. They're fiery and snuffy and raring to go. When I die, take my saddle from the wall. Put it on my pony, lead him out of his stall. Tie my bones to his back, turn our faces to the west. We'll ride the prairie that we love the best right around. Little dogies ride around them slow. They're fiery and stuffy and raring to go. Ride around, little dogies ride around them slow. They're fiery and stuffy or raring to go.
The cattle herds were driven a very long way to the cattle markets and had to be kept and watched on the open trail for many weeks. And the trail took the cowboys over rough country in all kinds of weather. The wild prairie lands were not friendly to men or animals. It was a lonely land, and the howling of wolves and winds at night made it more so. Across this strange land, no man in the early days of the West knew just where death was waiting for him. A listener hears the mournful feeling cowboys had for the prairie in this song called The Dying Cowboy. He does not want to be buried out in these wild lands, in the lone prairie, as the song says. Still, the dying cowboy does not get his wish. There is no choice. He can be buried only in the lone prairie, in a narrow grave, 6 by 3, 6 feet deep and 3 feet wide.
Oh, bury me not on the lone prairie. These words came low. From the pouted lips of a youth who lay on his dying bed at the close of day. Oh, bury me not on the lone prairie, where the coyote howls and the wind blows free, in a narrow grave just 6 by 3. Bury me not on the lone prairie. It matters not, I've oft been told, where the body lies when the heart grows cold. Yet grant, oh grant, this wish to me. Bury me not on the lone prairie. Oh, bury me not on the lone prairie, where the coyote howls and the wind blows free, in a narrow grave just 6 by 3. Oh, bury me not on the lone prairie. He wailed in pain, and o'er his brow death's shadows fast were gathering now. He thought of his friends and his home but night, as the cowboys gathered to see him die. Oh, bury me not on the lone prairie. These words came low and mournfully from the pouted lips of a youth.
And that's our program for today. Listen again tomorrow to learn English through stories from around the world. I'm Jonathan Evans.
And I'm Ashley Thompson.